Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us this evening, Father, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word, so that we can grow by in knowledge and wisdom and in faith, Father, so that we can walk close with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, Father, and in obedience to your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the first chapter of Philippians. Now here in verse 1, Paul starts this like he does all of his letters. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace of God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, for always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests for joy. 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to stop there and take a look now here at some of the things that we see in these first 6 verses. I'm starting out there with the first one. Paul starts by letting them know who he is, who's with him, and what they are. But here, Paul, instead of calling himself an apostle, he tells them that Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. And we all know that as the children of Almighty God, we are servants. Now, we get to that word saints. A lot of people don't really understand, and I know a lot of them don't, especially in a lot of our churches, because I used to have this word thrown at me all the time. I'd be talking to them about the church or about the Lord, and they'd look at me and laugh and ask me, who do you think you are, a saint? You see, they didn't know that they were actually following me, what I really was. And at the time, I didn't really understand about being one. I knew I was to be a child of God, but I hadn't learned enough yet about a lot of the things. Now, this word saints is a technical term referring not to the spiritual elite, but to all Christians. And the word means to be separated ones. Believers are separated in a dual sense. First, they are separated from all that is profane and set apart, are reserved for God and His use. And second, because they are separated from evil, they are morally pure and holy. Bishops are overseers, those leaders having the spiritual oversight of a local church. Their duty is to nurture and protect and care for the flock of God. And we see that elders and overseers are identical, the former title being one of status, the latter one of function. You see, deacons are church officials whose responsibilities were mainly administrative in nature. They took on a lot of the physical work that was needed in the church. Now, and seeing to those that were in need of help, what kind of help was needed, and more or less working to take care of that situation or that problem. And now, we know that he talks about fellowship in the gospel. Could also be stated, because of your participation in the gospel, Paul thanks God because of the Philippians' mutual faith in the gospel, and they're working with him to spread this good news. They're sending prayers for him and their financial support to him, and he thanks God because they share with him in the gospel and his ministry. And from the first day until now, and from the day of its birth in the present, the Philippians assembly had shared with Paul in the gospel and in its ministry at conversion. Lydia opened her home to Paul and his evangelist team. Their home later became a church. The repentant jailer washed their stripes to fed them, and the church sent money to Paul while at Thessalonica. And now at Rome, see, he's going to Rome now. And now we're going to pick up here. And take a look here at verse 6. We had read it. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you formed it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we look at this, we'll perform it. It said we'll finish it. Paul is convinced that the work of grace that God began in the Philippians at conversion will be divinely continued until the day of Jesus Christ. That is, the Lord will keep working in these believers until Jesus returns to earth, at which point he will finish his work, bringing it to completion. This speaks of the Christian's eternal security. For God had a purpose in view when he began his saving work in the Philippians, and that purpose will neither be abandoned nor unrealized. You know, this is the reason, regardless of what evil is laying out here before us, if we will continue to walk in and with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are not to walk in fear and be fearful, because he will keep you and I. That is a promise. When we became that child of God, we had that promise, and he will continue on until he comes back for the church, which will end this church age that we are in now, and we are well into it. There's really nothing to keep the Lord Jesus from coming at any moment. We don't know when it'll be. No man does. A lot of them tried to make out like they figured it all out. But we're told in God's word that no man knows, not even the angels in heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself don't know. Only the Father knows. Now, 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, all because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are takers of my grace. This meat he's talking about means right. He says, I have you in my heart as an item, meaning I love you. Ye all are partakers of my grace, indicates that the Philippians shared in all aspects of Paul's ministry, both the good and the difficult. You see, they were a group that really supported Paul and accepted him and those with him. And they would do whatever was necessary for his good. A lot of times we don't stop and think about these things, especially in this day and time in which you and I live. Hey, for God is my record, how great I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know, this bows in Greek refers to the nobler human entrails or organs, the heart, the liver, and the lungs. By a figure of speech, one word bows is changed for another. Love. Only remotely connected with it, it is as a man's entrails are located deep within his body, so his strongest passion, love, comes from deep within. For Paul to say that he longed for the Philippians with the entrails of Christ is to say that he longed for them with the love of Christ. And then there in that 10th verse, things that are excellent means things that really matter. And this refers to important issues as the Philippians' love, increase in knowledge and discernment. They will be able to accurately distinguish the vital and worthwhile things in life from those that are not contextually. And the reader's love for Paul vexes them as they are anxious over his imprisonment. And he wants them to perceive his imprisonment as being among those things that really matter because of the good that God will bring out of it. And the purpose for such discrimination is that you may be sincere or morally pure and without offense till the day of Christ. You see, and as we study the Word of God, we are seeing and understanding that regardless of what God lets us go through, or how long he will let us go through, there is always a purpose, good, that will come out of it and from it. Think about these things. You know, we look at things a lot different than what the Spirit and what God does. I mean, a lot different. We can look at one that has some type of affliction, and to us, we look at him and think within ourselves, he doesn't have even enough power to take care of himself. How can he help me? But you see, That doesn't have anything to do with it. We don't know why God is letting that one go through that. It really may be for you, the very one that believes, well, he can't help himself. He can't help me. And he may be the very one God sent to take care of you. That's as Paul was in prison. He wrote most of the books of the New Testament from prison. That's what God brought out of that. And that has been kept safe down through the years and handed to you and I today so that we can have a way of building our faith and having a way to gain knowledge and wisdom of the working of Almighty God and knowing what it takes in order for us to be on the road of making heaven our home. So don't look at someone that may not be working at 100% and say he can't help. You see, you don't know. You have no idea. But if he or she is talking to you about the Lord God, then be sure that you are listening and listening from the heart and with the Spirit. Now, 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. You know, that verse is talking to us about being filled with the fruit that is righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ for the purpose of glorifying and praising God and the believer who is pure and without offense before God has divinely developed in him a practical righteousness or daily moral life that measures up to God's standards in character and conduct. And the ultimate purpose for this righteousness is to glorify God. That's what we should all be about, is to bring that glory to God. That can come through our and because of our life. Now, we can't accomplish any of this on our own. We must have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living within us. We must be that born-again child of the living God in order to accomplish the things that will meet with the approval of God's eye as he sees. We don't work our way into heaven. We can't buy our way into heaven. We do the work that we do because we are his. And he has already given to us because it is he that makes us who and what we are. And that is a gift from him to you and I. Now, 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And here once again, Paul is letting them know, and you and I know, even to this day, because this letter was recorded, sent to the Philippian church, but also has been kept safe by the Lord our God, for we have it today. And he is wanting you and I to know that the things he is going through has brought good things forth, and things that would even further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's still today. So just as I spoke it, that brought it back to life again. Think about these things. That's why we are to place our lives in his hands and let him live through us and us through him. Because all power is going to come to you and I through the Lord God. 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. You see, Paul's letting us know there that prison has been recognized as being because of his commitment to Christ in all the palace and in all other places. All eventually realized that Paul was no criminal, but an evangelist with a pure and blameless life. How is your life? Is it pure? Is it blameless? They also perceived that his incarceration was caused by no crime on his part, but because he was representing the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. And that's exactly why he was jailed. And there's coming a time, and I'm afraid it's not as far off as what we all would like to think, to stand up and preach this gospel and to teach and study as I'm doing now will mean imprisonment and death for the ones doing it. And we are told so in God's word. We're told what it will mean to those of us that will be speaking in the last days of time. And we're seeing things come about very fast that is moving in that direction. Now, 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bond, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This whole verse could be rendered, and the majority of the brethren depending on the Lord, because of my imprisonments, have much more courage to speak the word fearlessly. The Roman believers will arouse that false bond in relying upon the Lord for enablement. We're more courageous than before to spread the gospel in and around Rome, and the whole church thus stirred and did more in spreading the good news than Paul could have done by himself had he not been in jail. You see, and that's why the Lord left him there. He was there 2 years. God could have got him out of locker. He brought Peter and them out. He opened the jail doors, unfastened their chains. They fell off and everything. And they wouldn't leave because the guard would have killed himself for allowing them to escape. But it caused more to become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were led out to do the things that God wanted done. 15. Some did indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. 16. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Paul letting them know he wasn't preaching to further the gospel. He was doing it to add things and make things rougher for Paul. 17. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for defense of the gospel. This contention here means selfish ambition, and some of those sharing the gospel were doing so with the proper motive, but other believers were preaching for the wrong reason. The right motivation is love, and the love for God, for Paul, and love for unbelievers. Now, improper motives are envy, strife, and selfish ambition. Some egotistical Christians were jealous of the apostle and rejoiced over his imprisonment, for it gave them opportunity to be in the limelight, supposing to add affliction to his bonds. And they hoped that when Paul learned of their being the center of attention, his chains would become particularly galling to him. You see, they was all doing it just to be mocking Paul and wanting to hurt him more. But, you see, that wasn't working either, because Paul was doing exactly what God had him there to do. Now, 18. Then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. We have those out there today that are leading a lot of people astray because they are preaching a gospel that they have twisted and turned, added to, and taken away and made weak, and that is contrary to the Word of God. But at times they are using Jesus' name. That much we can rejoice about, that they are using his name once in a while. But we need to be praying for them that they will repent and get back into the Word of God as it is written, and as their church at one time were. There was a time in my lifetime that I can remember when all of your churches, all your Protestant churches, taught the same thing. They all baptized the same way. They all baptized in Jesus' name. I have seen the weakening of these churches and how they changed, and not for the good, but for the worst. And we do. We need to keep them in our prayers until they all will repent and take their church back to the Lord's church, his church. 19. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supplication of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And you see, Paul is telling them here exactly what I have been telling you that we need to be doing. And that is keeping it all in prayer. Keeping everything in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, everything we do should be done, actually, for the magnifying and lifting up always the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, which will bring a lot of things to you and I. Also, 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you are truly a born-again child of God, that statement is so true. Because for me to live is Christ being taught, Christ being spoke about, Christ being brought up in love. But for me to die would be gain because I would be going on to be with him. This is what Paul is talking about here. Now, 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wrought not. 23. Paul says, for I am in a strait betwixt to having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He said, I'm caught in between. For me to depart, to go to be with Christ, is far better. But here in 24, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And we are needed today. Those that will proclaim this word as it is and as God had it recorded, not walking around any subjects, not taking away and adding to it to make it say things we want it to say, but saying what it says is more needful right now for mankind. Because mankind right now is in a lot more trouble than even he realizes, especially those that are walking in darkness. Now, 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide, continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. 29, for to you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. 30, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Now we have come now to the end of chapter 6, or chapter 1 of Philippians. And there was a whole lot coming through there that should have brought a lot of memories back to you and I, and a lot of things that probably before we hadn't really picked up on. I pray through this study you have gained a whole lot of help spiritually. So let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as I close your word, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the times that we can come together to share in your word, Father, and to help each other to grow thereby, so that one day when we step out of this life, Father, we can step into our new life to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for peace. And I pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. This land is ours, Father. So much evil. And Father, you know where it comes from. You know every one of them that's in leadership that is teaching things that are contrary to your word, teaching things that are evil. Help us to remove them from office, to replace them with ones, Father, that are serving you, that love you, love your church, love the Lord Jesus, and loves this country. And that will work with us, Father, to put this land to repentance and our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I'm praying now for health through the night, powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor, for my wife, Father, for myself, and for all of our families. Because each one of us, Father, have family members that are not living right. May the Holy Spirit work within our families and help them to come to a knowledge of knowing that they need something more than themselves. They need the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, to give them a better way of life, that they can spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in Him. None be lost, Father. Now, Father, keep us. Bring us back together in the morning at 10 a.m. and back together again in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Have a good night, a good evening, good night. And may God be with you.